Hey, Joyce Meyer just called and said she got a word from God and that you should listen to the Wonderful Grace radio broadcast.
Wonderful grace of Jesus, greater than all my sin. How shall my tongue describe it? Where shall his praise begin? Taking away my burden, setting my spirit free. For the wonderful grace of Jesus reaches me. Wonderful, the master's grace.
Okay, Joyce Meyer didn't really call him, but if she had, I'm certain that she would have told you to listen to this broadcast. My name, Mark Mumar, pastor of the Master Builder Grace Assembly. We're located at 313 South Jefferson Street, right there in downtown Dayton, Ohio. We're just south of the convention center across the street from the Singular Wireless store, and we meet each and every Sunday morning at 10 o'clock for teaching, 11 o'clock for the preaching service, and again, each and every Thursday evening, that at 7 p.m. for Bible study. Now, I do receive emails from listeners, and here's one that says that she has been downloading quite a bit of material from the website. That website address, www.wonderfulgrace.org. She has gone there just as you can and downloaded material off of the website to her MP3 player, or you can stream it directly to your computer. There is over 200 hours of Bible teaching there on that website. She says that she doesn't necessarily agree with everything I teach, but that we'll have to wait until eternity to find out who's right and who's wrong. That's fine with me. You know, not everything that everybody teaches is going to be 100% accurate, but I think we've got it pretty well pinned down. Minax, dispensational right division of the King James Bible. If there's anything better out there, I certainly wish somebody would let me know. Because by learning how to rightly divide the word of truth, you can probably for the very first time understand well over 99% of every verse in the Bible and understand the context, where they go, and how you, most importantly, fit in. You learn that Christ died for the forgiveness of all your sins that accomplished on the cross, and by his shed blood your sins are forgiven. You have but to trust the payment made by our Lord Jesus Christ, and the Holy Ghost seals you until the day of redemption. You're saved, you're secure in the body of Christ. That's a great thing, and that's a dispensational truth. Today we're going to talk about circumstances. I'm so glad you happened to be here today. What a fortunate occurrence. I'll be back in just a minute.
Broader than the scope of my transgressions, greater far than all my sin and shame. Oh, magnify the precious name of Jesus. Praise the name of Jesus, wonderful name of Jesus. Magnify his holy
banana split for my baby, a glass of plain water for me.
And which one will it be for you at your church this Sunday? It seems that most people attend the church of their choice based on their tastes and not based on what the Bible says. As we go through our everyday lives, whether we like it or not, we all have instructions given to us to follow. When you're in your car and approach an intersection with a traffic light, you may notice that the light is red. The instruction associated with this, of course, as you all know, is to stop at the red light. But look around. There are cars at the same intersection, and yet they're not stopped, but have received instruction to go because the light they're looking at is not red, but green. The same intersection, everyone's driving cars, everyone's looking at the traffic light, but depending on which direction you're going, the instructions will be different, one with another. Just because not everyone has the same instruction, all at the same time does not make all the instructions wrong. You understand that there are differing instructions given to different people at different times. That's the same thing that your Bible says in Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1. Different instructions given to different people at different times.
It would be a wrong thing to follow the other driver's traffic light instead of your own. You may wind up in a wreck. It would be equally wrong to be following instructions in your Bible meant for other people. Chances are, your Christianity will also wind up in a wreck. As you read through your Bible, you may notice that there are verses that seem to conflict one with another. You may have thought that these conflicts were mistakes in the Bible, but they're no more a mistake than one traffic light being red while the other is green. For instance, when you read in Joel chapter 3, verse 10, to beat your plowshares into swords, the people who that instruction was written to at that particular time would be wrong to follow the instruction given in Micah chapter 4, 3, to those who are to beat their swords into plowshares. You may have been picking up your cross, trying to follow the instructions given by the Lord Jesus Christ in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Chances are, you found that cross to be a heavy, confusing burden because you can't identify what it is that you're supposed to be doing. In Luke chapter 10, verse 4, the Lord Jesus tells his disciples to carry neither purse, nor script, nor shoes. Don't worry about hotel reservations. Don't call ahead for a rental car. And a seat at the Cracker Barrel restaurant will always be available. No waiting. But then you read Luke chapter 22, verse 36, and find out that the Lord's instruction is to take your purse with you and your script, pack a bag, make hotel reservations at least 2 weeks ahead of time, and you may have to use public transportation. There's also a good chance that the wait at the restaurant will be hours before you can be seated. On top of this, you may need to use that sword that you've just got done beating into a plowshare. Swords. Plowshares, plowshares, swords, take your purse, leave your purse, leave your purse, take your purse. What is a person supposed to do? There is a way that you can understand which instructions in your Bible are for you. There is a way that you can understand all the instructions in your Bible, who they were given to, for what particular time, and whether or not you should be following them. There is a way that you can know with certainty how a soul is saved. There is a way that you can be sure of what you should be doing. There is a way that you can understand how the Bible is meant to operate and what you can expect from your Christianity. The answer is mid-Acts Pauline dispensational right division of your King James Bible. Only by recognizing that not every instruction in the Bible is directed at you, and learning how to tell the difference, can you finally come to a complete understanding of how God has at different times spoken different things to different people and which instruction is for you. If you feel like your Christian experience has been stuck at a red light that never turns green, you need to attend the Master Builder Grace Assembly, 313 South Jefferson Street in downtown Dayton, Ohio. At the Master Builder Grace Assembly, you will learn how to rightly divide the Word of Truth, learning about all your Bible, but also learning how to know what instructions are given specifically for you. Stop the confusion, stop the excuses, and get to the Master Builder Grace Assembly this Sunday for teaching at 10 a.m., preaching service at 11, Wednesday evening Bible study at 7 o'clock p.m., or go to the website www.wonderfulgrace.org. It's loaded with audio teachings, directions for how you can attend our assembly live and free via the internet, or to contact me, Mark Mumaugh, pastor of the Master Builder Grace Assembly, 313 South Jefferson Street in Dayton, Ohio. There's no need to be confused about this. It will be a right thing to do when you show up at the Master Builder Grace Assembly. Banana split or plain water? Go ahead. Have both. I won't tell.
Oh, the banana split for my baby. And the glass of plain water's for me. Ain't got no money. The glass of plain water's for me.
Yes, somebody needs to fire the announcer because he keeps saying Wednesday evening for Bible study, and we've changed to Thursday evening. That's so you can attend without anybody knowing that you're gone from your church. Give us a try every Thursday evening at 7 p.m. Bible study at the Master Builder Grace Assembly. And before we start the lesson on circumstances, it was a great circumstance that the email that I received from that fine lady asked about receiving outlines for the lessons on the website, www.wonderfulgrace.org, and I replied to her, they're available, and you too can get outlines for those lessons if you just request them. You can also be put on a list. I send out well over 100 outlines for the lessons that are taught each and every Thursday evening. Those are available also live on the internet. You can contact me through the website. I read all the emails that come in, or you can write to me at P.O. Box 384, Spring Valley, Ohio 45370, and just request the outlines for the lessons. No doubt that you've heard preachers say, I got a word from God. I started the program with a little joke about Joyce Myers because she likes to use that phrase, I got a word from God and this is what it is, as if God were sending her an email or making a phone call to her and letting her know exactly what he wanted her to say. If God was giving us a word, giving us new revelation, you know, there would be a whole lot more Christians getting into a whole lot less trouble than seems to be happening today. We find about Christians, getting into trouble and going to jail, having sexual escapades and things like that, stealing money from churches. If God was really communicating with his direct word in a voice that we could understand and hear, then I think that there would be a whole lot less problems going on in the church as it is. One of the occurrences that happened just recently, I'm sure, unless you're living in a cave, you've heard about the shootings, the terrible tragedy that occurred out there in Colorado. First, the young man went into the seminary or missionary school, and there was a couple people died there. Then he shows up at a church 12 hours later and opens fire. And four people, maybe five, died there. And it's just a terrible tragedy that those things have got to occur. And you probably also know about the courageous young lady who had a gun, a security officer, who when she heard the gunfire going off, she jumped behind one of the church pews and hid until the gunman was in sight. Then she laid a shot into that gunman and put him on the floor. She was interviewed on, I heard it on Fox, and she attributes everything to God. I was wondering, though, bless her heart, I know she means well. I know that she's thankful to be alive. I know that she's thankful that not more people got hurt or killed, and I am too. But I wonder, is it God that was pulling the trigger of the gunman's gun, or was it God that pulled the trigger of her gun? Exactly what part of the circumstances were attributable to God? You know that people, when they go through certain circumstances of their life, the variable vicissitudes of life, the good and the bad, they like to attribute their circumstances to God. God's trying to tell me something. My guess would be is that if God were really trying to tell you something new, you would not have any question about the fact that God was speaking to you. Or maybe God's trying to tell me something, and by the circumstance, maybe God's trying to teach me something. Well, you know what? We have a word from God. God has spoken to us, and that has been through his written word, the Holy Bible. God has put every bit of information that we need to know, that contained in the almost 750,000 words, in the Bible. God has finished the scriptures. They're complete. There's nothing left for God to say in this, the dispensation of the grace of God. Nobody, and I can say this with certainty, nobody is receiving new revelation from God. No one is receiving new instruction from God. But the question would be is God using the circumstances of life? If you lose your job, maybe you've become sick, maybe you get hurt, you lose your job, you lose your visible support, the paycheck that you got each and every week, fall behind on your bills, and maybe you're one of the ones, the mortgage situation is just terrible, where so many thousands of people are in danger of losing their houses, and that might be you. And you might look at that and say, well, God is trying to tell me something, or everything has a purpose. All we have to do is figure out what the purpose of losing my house or having my car repossessed would be. And so many people go through life operating like this. If it's a good circumstance, oh, God loves me. If it's a bad circumstance, well, God's trying to tell me to change my ways. And they operate throughout their lives in that way. We need to allow the Bible to define its own circumstances, its own situations, and believe that, rather than using our circumstances to try to define what the Bible says. Don't read into the Bible things that aren't there. Don't try to get out of the Bible things that it doesn't contain. The circumstance-driven relationship in your Bible is always a covenant relationship, and that is with the nation Israel. That is about circumstances. Deuteronomy chapter 28, you have a whole chapter full of blessings and cursings that, due to the covenant that God made with the nation Israel, the first 14 verses are all about the blessings. If thou shalt do this, then I'll do this for you. But, you know, the last, verse 15 through 68, God talks about cursings. If you don't do this, then this is going to happen. You see, it's an if-then relationship. If you do something, I will do this for you. If you fail to perform, I am going to do something else. It's a whole lot like the relationship you have at work with your boss. If you do your job, you'll continue to have employment. Chances are at some point you'll get a raise, maybe a bonus once a year. If you don't do those things, then chances are you're going to lose your job and be on the unemployment line. You have a covenant relationship at work with your boss. You have a covenant relationship with your husband, with your wife. If you continue in all those promises you made during the wedding ceremony, you know, about loving and sickness and health, fidelity issues and all those things, chances are you'll have a long, happy marriage. If you ignore those things, there's a good chance that your marriage is going to end up like 50% of all marriages do today, that in divorce. Now, this idea that we have a covenant with God leads all to all kinds of problems. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 12 explains that we as Gentiles are strangers from the covenants and promises of God. We're strangers because we're of the body of Christ. We're not of Israel. Meanwhile, Israel did have covenants, they did have promises, and as God's covenant people, they also had another problem with the body of Christ today, thinking that angels are watching over you. You know, angels protecting every move you make, angels checking out everything you do. That is for the covenant people. I read in Exodus chapter 23, verse 20, "Behold, I send an angel before thee to keep thee in the way and to keep thee into the place which I have prepared. Beware of him and obey his voice. Provoke him not, for he will not pardon your transgressions, for my name is in him." And here comes the if-then situation of the covenant. But if thou shalt indeed obey his voice, so if they do that, then God says, I will be an enemy unto thine enemies and an adversary unto thine adversaries. God's going to return favor to the covenant people if they obey the voice of the angel. If Israel obeys God in Jeremiah chapter 15, verse 19, we find, "Therefore thus saith the Lord, if thou return, then will I bring thee again, and thou shalt stand before me. And if thou take forth the precious from the vial, thou shalt be as my mouth. Let them return unto thee, but return not unto them. And I will take thee and make these people a fence, brazen wall, and will fight against thee, but God's going to deliver them out of the hand of the wicked." You see, if they keep the covenant, God is going to then deliver them. But if Israel disobeys God, we find then and that God is going to deliver them into the hands of the wicked. In verse 6 of Jeremiah 26, I will make this house like Shiloh. I will make this city a curse to all the nations of the earth. You see, God promises to return the favor. If Israel doesn't obey God, he is going to devastate the entire landscape. But God also says if Israel changes their ways, we read in Jeremiah 26:13, therefore now amend your ways and your doings and obey the voice of the Lord your God, and the Lord will repent him of the evil that he hath pronounced against you. Now, that all has to do with the covenant people. And if you think that you're of the covenant, then there's a good chance you think, I said good chance, isn't it? There's a good chance that you think that everything happens for a purpose and nothing happens by chance. When I read in 1 Samuel chapter 6, here we find the Philistines, and they had captured the Ark of the Covenant, that of Israel, and God sends plagues upon them, rather embarrassing plagues, by the way. One of them was hemorrhoids. In your King James Bible, the word is emrod, so when you find that in the Bible, you know exactly what's being spoken of. And they are to make golden images of mice and the hemorrhoids. I don't know exactly how you do that, but they were to take those and take the ark back and set it where it was supposed to go in verse 9, and see if it goeth up by the way of his own coast to Beth Shemesh, then he hath done us a great evil. So what they're doing is they're tying the ark to a cart, putting it behind a donkey or a horse, and sending it off. And if it goes one way, it's God that sent the evil. But if not, then we shall know that it was not his hand that smote us. It was a chance that happened to us. You see, things do happen by chance. Not everything has an ordained purpose from God. Not everything that happens is meant to teach you a lesson, to show you some new bit of revelation from God, or to get you to mend your ways. I read in Deuteronomy chapter 22, this according to the law, if a bird's nest chance to be before thee in the way in any tree. So if there just happens to be a bird nest in the way that you're walking, or if it be on the ground and there be young ones and the dam sitting on the young or upon the eggs, then thou shalt not take the dam with the young. So there was instruction if something occurred by chance. God didn't make the bird build his nest there. It was a chance occurrence. It was happenstance. It just happened to occur. We know, do we not, that there is evil in the world today. You can't turn on the news. You can't turn on the radio or the TV or read the newspaper without knowing that evil abounds in this world today. And that's evidenced by the fact that there was shootings and deaths and blood spilled inside the church house out there in Colorado Springs, Colorado. That is an evil occurrence carried out by an evil young man who wanted to do evil to these people. It wasn't God trying to teach them a lesson. Knowing that there's evil in the world, we also know Galatians 1:4, Christ who gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us from this present evil world according to the will of God and our Father. There is deliverance. That out in the future, that when we die, that when we go to heaven. But meanwhile, we have to deal with the circumstances of this present evil world. And if you think that we're living in some sort of panacea, or if you think that we're living in the promised kingdom, if you think that you're the covenant people and are jostled about, tossed about by every wind of doctrine due to whatever circumstance happens to come your way, then you're going to be forever confused about what's going on about you, around you. You don't realize or don't believe Ephesians 5:16 that we're to redeem the time because the days are evil. There's a lot of people and people I know that walk about life thinking everything's just fantastic, and it's just like they have blinders on, like they're a horse with those side panels so that they can see neither left nor right. All they see is what is contained in in their little world, and as long as things are going okay, everything is okay. As soon as there's a little bump in the road, well, God's trying to show me something, and they do something, and as soon as it clears up, as soon as the problem leaves, well, God's happy with me again. That is living life by the circumstances that come along and believing that God is controlling the circumstances. You know, chance is not a volition in and of itself. Chance does not have its own life. It doesn't have its own volition. There's a man in Luke chapter 10, verse 30. Who decides to travel. He decides what route to take. And then thieves choose to rob him. The decision then is made to leave and beat him. We read that in Luke chapter 10, verse 30. And Jesus answered and said, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment and wounded him and departed, leaving him half dead. These chance happenings are a product of all the previous decisions that were made. The man decided to travel. He decides to take a particular route. The thieves decide to rob him and not someone else. And then, for whatever reason, they decide to pull the trigger on the gun. They decide to leave him beside the road dead. It's not that God was mad at the man who got robbed. It was that these chance happenings occurred in such a way that this was the event and this was the outcome. You see, chance happenings are a product of previous decisions being made. Because I read in the next verse, Luke chapter 10, verse 31, that by chance there came down a certain priest that way. And when he saw him, well, he didn't want anything to do with him. He passed on the other side. But if we make decisions based on believing the Bible, the result is going to be that you're going to realize that whatever happens is the confluence of all the decisions that you make. It's the result of making either good decisions or bad decisions. If you think that God is controlling everything that goes on, you'll like the story of the three pastors called to go and interview for a new church position, a new pastorate at a different church, and it was miles and miles away from each and every one. The first one leaves, and on the way, his car breaks down, and he doesn't make it to the meeting, so he doesn't get the new position, and he curses the devil. Oh, the devil kept me from going. So it's the devil's fault. The second one leaves and his car breaks down on the way, and he didn't really want to go in the first place. So he thanks God and says, oh God, you know, it's God's will that I stay at the church that I'm already at. The third one makes it there. He gets the job, and, you know, it was God's will that he do that he change jobs. That's not necessarily the case. It was chance happenings. You see, the devil doesn't make your car break down. God isn't trying to direct everything you do. There are chance happenings and we make our own decisions. What happens when you win the lottery? Hopefully you'll send some of that to me. But meanwhile, what happens if you win the lottery by, for instance, playing your favorite hymn number? Oh, God has blessed me. God loves me. What happens when you find out the next day that you've gotten cancer? Is God then chastising you? You need to come to grips with the fact that there is sin in this world and the fact that we live in this present evil world and that Satan is the god of this world, and all those things are going to influence what happens to you. God isn't chastising you. God isn't trying to send you a new message. God isn't trying to tell you what to do. Rather, God has put His instruction and all the things that you need to know already contained in His perfectly preserved Word, the King James Bible. Quit living your life by circumstance and live it by the instruction given to us in God's perfectly preserved Word. My name, Mark Mumaw, pastor of the Master Builder Grace Assembly, trying to get you to believe your Bible and live by what God has placed in it. That for our edification and instruction, that we can be intelligized, that we don't have to walk in ignorance thinking that things are going on about us that really are not occurring, I would be happy to see you each and every Sunday morning at the Master Builder Grace Assembly. 313 South Jefferson Street. We meet at 10 a.m. for teaching, 11 for the preaching service, Thursday evening at 7 p.m. for Bible study. Make sure to check out the website, www.wonderfulgrace.org, or write me via mail at P.O. Box 384, Spring Valley, Ohio, 45370. And don't forget that on Sunday the 23rd and the 30th, also the Thursday the 27th, Brother Terry McLean will be speaking at the Master Builder Grace Assembly. Thank you for listening.
Sparkling like a fountain, all sufficient grace for even me. For even me. Broader than the scope of my discretion, greater far than all my sin and shame. Oh, magnify the precious name of Jesus. Praise the name of Jesus. Wonderful name of Jesus.